Welcome back to Fright School. Oh my God, Joe, this is so exciting.
Why is it exciting, Joshua?
We are in a movie theater, seeing a movie.
And we're together.
And we're together, sitting right next to each other. This is insane. The last time we did this was over a year ago for The Invisible Man. And here we are to see Spiral from the Book of Saw. I'm so excited.
Yes, it's very fitting. The last movie I saw in the theater was horror. First movie back is horror.
That's the only way. I can't think of a better circumstances.
I love it. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, so dear listener, just hang on a bit. Hopefully technology is kind to us, and we will be right back with a special guest to give you our thoughts on a new Saw film, Spiral. Oh my gosh, Chris Rock. Here we go.
Welcome to Fright School. Are you ready? Class is in session.
All right, welcome back. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Joshua. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Obviously not I'm way more up than you, I guess, today. I don't know what... Anyways, blah, blah. I don't know what I'm trying to say. But I will say that I'm very excited to welcome our favorite acolyte of one, John Jigsaw Kramer, back to the Fright School mobile book library here. Young David! Yay!
Hello.
Yes, we've been waiting like over a year to have this conversation, to see the new Spiral from the Book of Saw. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, let's just chat a little bit. How have you been doing? We haven't talked to you in a while. How's life? How's your pandemic going?
I've been vaccinated for about a month now, so I've gone and done some things, but it was the first movie that I did see in theaters since way before the pandemic. I don't even remember the last movie I saw. And other than that, I'm doing pretty good. Just looking for jobs. That's about it.
What kind of jobs are you looking for?
Hire her.
Oh, I got my credential for teaching, so I'm just looking for
super
teaching jobs.
Cool. Yeah, you're really taking that Saul get tortured to death thing seriously. Well, I guess it depends on what age you want to teach. Oh,
high school.
Well, you do. You want to be tortured to death. All right. Well, that's good.
Well, I think that David Moore wants to, he wants to like be that person that's going to like dole out the comeuppance of his like shitty, you know, the shitty kids, you know, remember when
I'm going to start all of my word problems with want
right.
to play a game.
Exactly. Yes. it'll be like Ma and Saw meets Saw, but it's the teacher.
Oh Lord. Oh man. Well, that's very cool. Glad that you finished that. I bet that feels like a nice accomplishment, you know?
Yeah, and now I just have to find
right.
a job.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they're paying teachers nowadays, but if it's, you know, anywhere in that $15 range, you should be able to find something. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know shit. I did see some posts, though, for like master. Like, you must have a master's degree. $15.80 an hour. I'm like, okay. That's...
Did not go to school that long for that little amount of money.
I tell you, I know. It's so messed up. Anyway, so I finished this morning. I watched the last chapter. So I finished my like marathon. I had watched Jigsaw randomly a few weeks ago. Mm. So I did a whole rewatch of Saw. Turned out I didn't need really to do that, but it was super fun. Of course, it's always fun to sit and watch the Saw films. As Joe will find out soon enough. But yeah, let's just get into it. So we've got Spiral from the Book of Saw. with we should just say spoiler alert, as usual, probably gonna spoil the shit out of this, dear listener. So go and see it. You know, go on a date. I know it's been 14 or 15 months since you've had that. And well, for some of you, maybe longer. Or for others of you, maybe you never stop dating. You don't care. Have apps. Will travel. go out to the movies and see it. So we've got Chris Rock going, I've got a good idea for a new Saw movie. And using his clout, he got it to happen. So Joe, let's start with you. As we always do, what did you think?
Well, I mean, this movie was really fucked up. I don't know why I'm speaking in a hushed and reverent tone.
I don't either. You're so like reserved right now. You didn't sing a show tune.
Really afraid.
You didn't. You know. I mean, I don't know what to do with this energy you have. I feel like I'm having to make up.
I'm just afraid that the spiral killer is going to come for me. It really does make you wish that, like,
did you become a crooked cop in between the time we left the? We left the theater and somehow you go ahead, sorry.
Okay, so here's the thing. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it as someone who as of the listener listening to this, I have only seen the first Saw film. So I haven't seen the others yet because, you know, we're waiting for that part of Fright School. So I'm just like, okay, like this is going to be really interesting. And then I was really like, there is something to be said about movie magic and being in a movie theater and having the surround sound and the sound hits at the right point. And like this movie, I did not think if I had watched it in my home, it probably wouldn't have been as effective as if I, by watching it in the theater with you, Joshua. So I'm grateful mostly for that experience and for having that like movie magic, and that's never going to go away. But like, I mean, it was very disturbing in parts. It was really gory. I can't believe they showed a lot of the things that they showed. But I mean, again, I'm also like, you know, quote unquote new to this. overall, I enjoyed it. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, we don't do I haven't shown you a ton of like the really tortury, gory stuff. So this was pretty extreme up there with like, you know, Inside and, you know, some of the things that we've watched.
Martyrs.
Yeah, well, I've not done Martyrs yet.
You go back and forth.
I found some really good conversation around Martyrs that I think would be perfect for Fright School, but it's a very intense film. I go back and forth on whether I want to subject Joe to it because it's a different level, you know, than like Saw or some of the gory films. We'll cross that bridge one day.
I know we give a lot of like, I know we talk a lot about Inside, but I keep forgetting that like I have like seen a literal abortion,
right?
Like with watching Dumpling. So, I mean, if that's the gore barometer, right? So
yeah. David, what are your thoughts as a longtime fan of Saw? I mean, I'm sure you were excited when this was announced. And
yeah, so well, to start, when I heard that Chris Rock had like pitched this, I was like, who? I was like, Chris Rock? And now, love him. He's great. I loved it. I loved it so much. It really does take the Saw movies into a new direction, and I'm here for it. As Joe said, being in a theater, it really did a lot. I definitely got emotional at parts because I was in a theater seeing my favorite franchise, and this was like the first movie I've seen in over a year. So I got a little emotional.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel that. It is, I miss, because like the last time we went to like a film where there was like a ton of people in the audience was like Get Out, you know, because we usually see films earlier in the day. So I did kind of miss that. I think if there had been, because God, there was only what, like 20 people in the theater with us, because you know, it's so spread out. So it's like, I miss kind of having a big audience, because I think if this had opened under, you know, quote unquote normal, you know, mm-hmm. it would have been packed. And I think it would have been a lot more fun as like an amusement park ride kind of thing to experience with people. Yeah. But absolutely, like just being in the theater was very nice. We saw it in IMAX, so it was huge. And very, the blood and gore was even more intense, like as big and gross
yeah,
as
I'm- could be. I didn't get a seat in IMAX because I don't have an IMAX theater near me, yeah. But I'm going with my mom on Thursday or Friday, and we're going to see it in IMAX.
See, I love that. Oh, that makes me miss my mom. Like, I miss going to see horror movies with her.
Well, yeah, we always do every Saw movie except for the first one. We saw the midnight showing or whatever the first showing was opening night together, but they were up visiting my sister for something this past weekend, so she didn't get to come with me. Oh. So I'll just get to experience
yeah,
it again.
Yeah, no, that's sweet. Yeah, that's cool. I do miss that annual tradition we had, you know, for years of getting to go and see, you know, the new Saw film every year, and I hope this kicks off a new franchise.
I do too.
I hope that we get another one next year and the year after, and, you know, until they, you know, run this into the ground as far as they want.
Yeah.
Although revisiting the first seven, like, you know, I forget, like, as bonkers as the story is, they do a good job of weaving stuff in there and going back and kind of filling in.
They
do. And so it's like, I on rewatching, I was like, you know, there are hits and misses with some of the things, you know, like just in general, like quality, I feel, but overall, the franchise is great,
yeah.
You know, and they really tie all this stuff in. So rewatching it over the last week or so, I was just like, oh gosh, I forget how awesome this like series is. Uh-huh. And its moral superiority and its like inventiveness of traps. And so I was very curious to see how that would go. So let's dive into a little bit of, oh, well, hold on. Let me pause because you were going to say something. Okay,
I don't
sorry.
Remember.
I was like, I railroaded over you. I was like, oh, I should see what you have to say.
Well, you railroaded like the beginning of the Spiral.
Now we can go right into the story. So that was super fun. So, you know, we start off right away, you know, kind of, you know, however fast a subway car moves. 0 to 60. You know, so we've got the first trap, which I'm trying to, I don't think I've ever seen in any of the Saw films a trap like that with like the tongue.
Yeah, it's one of my new favorites. It was so good and it was so well done. And it was just so simple. I think I loved it because it was just so simple. He's just like hanging on by his tongue and all he has to do to live is just fall. But, you know.
No, I know. It's kind of sad, like, when he does finally let go, it's too late. And it's like, man, dude, just a few seconds earlier, you know. So, yeah, that's
yeah.
And if you haven't, dear listener, you can see that scene. If you just want to get a taste, they did release, like, a 3-minute teaser.
Yep.
So you can at least see the first trap, which it is. It's very simple and very visceral. You know, the way they filmed it up close, and you just get
the shot of his, just that shot of right before he gets hit by the subway. It's just it like, oh, yeah. It's so good.
Absolutely, Joe. What did you think of that? You like you were squirming. Poor Joe. He was just squirming like the whole time. I had you on one side,
I mean,
and
like,
the Sam Squinch on the other, and both of you are like, oh.
Well, like, I mean, let's put it into context, right? Like, okay, the first movie that I'm going to see back from a global pandemic where I, you know, was already, you know, every day fearful for my life. I'm sitting there watching in IMAX and beautiful surround sound. this, like, supposedly crooked cop. And that's the other thing too, because it's like, again, like the thing that's interesting is that like Saw franchise specifically deals with like morality on a whole, like horror films all deal with morality, and there's all these different variations of what is moral within every single film. But with Saw, it's like very cut and dry, right? It's just like, you are a terrible person, ergo, and you did this thing, ergo, you don't deserve to live, or you deserve to live, but like be harmed in some way. And so like to see that like played exquisitely in this first one, like it was beautiful. I will never get that out of my head. It's also just like it plays on people's fears of like the soft tissue, right? Like you got someone by the tongue, they're really not going to go anywhere. And I actually, until David explained it, I didn't really quite get how it was supposed to work. Like I understand it now, where it's like, if he just kicks the chair out, right, he'll kicks the chair out, he falls, and then the tongue gets ripped, and then that's it. I mean, it's kind of a crapshoot. I mean, like me being a pragmatist, right, it's a kind of a crapshoot either way, because he could bleed out. There's nowhere really for him to run as the 3 train is coming down. But it was just so, like, to have that be the first kill, and to have that be like David, who is this like lifelong Saw fan, be one of his favorites, like that's just, you knew they wanted to make a statement right away. And I think they were very effective.
Absolutely. Yeah. Make a statement by ripping someone's tongue out. And so that kind of sets up, like you mentioned, so this guy is a crooked cop, and that is sort of what the conversation is throughout Spiral, is about, you know, the systemic issues plaguing the police. Kind of. They could have pushed it a little bit more. It's interesting, Joe, that you bring up the Saw series and like morality, because when we talk about like social justice horror, we tend to think that that's something that's started kind of really coming to the forefront with like Get Out, and as we've been moving forward, like these deeper conversations. But Saw has been doing that for a while. I mean, rewatching Saw 6 and this conversation, yep, about health insurance and healthcare, and you know, what is morally right in a society, you know, and then holding people responsible for, you know, making these decisions that affect other people's lives. You know, Saw always kind of has, you know, done that. I think the gore and all that, that's it kind of gets lost for some people, you know, to get through the gore of it. But at the heart of it, you know, there are these serious conversations happening. So this, you know, right there with it, talking about police. So we've got Chris Rock plays Ezekiel Banks, Detective Banks, Zeke, who at some point previous before the start of the film has had a partner who was crooked, shot a witness who was gonna, you know, take down a police officer. And so Zeke turned him in. And of course, now he's a rat. And as we've been having that conversation in society, you know, we go, oh, there's no good cops. You know, good cops should turn in the bad cops. But when they do, they get fired, or they're harassed, or, you know, bad things happen to them. They get put in situations where, you know, their own lives are at risk. So it's kind of talking a little bit about that, bad appling, you know, the cop conversation, I think, a little bit. So yeah, where do we want to go from there? Talking about the film. If that's kind of the starting point of having this conversation about corrupt police. what did we think of the overall discussion?
I liked it because it definitely like is different for Saw. Like Jigsaw did go for some cops,
right,
that he knew were corrupt. Mm-hmm. But he didn't always go for cops, and this one's specifically going for them, which is like, it does it at one point I was it at so at the beginning I was like, oh, what is this weird cop pop propaganda? And then by the end, I was like, it went full fuck the police.
Yeah, to some extent. Yeah, that final shot kind of turning that imagery around on itself, you know, for the police to take out like one of their own, unknowingly, I guess.
Which was also like a black person pulling a gun.
Yeah, who happens to be the former chief of police. That was a pretty intense thing. And then they end it there. So, I mean, it ends very intense, very, you know, very much like the first Saw film of like slamming the door and everybody screaming, you know, and it's just like, wow, okay, what's next? It definitely left you like, you know, wanting more. You brought up the conversation about police, because that's been one of the critiques I've read about Spiral, is people are like, what are they talking about? Like, oh, Jigsaw never targeted cops. He had, you know, several cops that were part of.
He totally did.
A little strange.
I would name them all off, but Joe has not seen them yet. So I don't want to give it away.
Thank you. Appreciate
a police officer as part of his like cult, you know, because I kind of still think of John Kramer as like a cult leader more than anything in a way. You know, so he also had, you know, he had use for crooked police, but he definitely targeted officers on several occasions. I mean, the first film has lots of the first few films have, you know.
Oh yeah, it has two specifically.
So yeah, I thought that was a little strange that sort of Jigsaw never targeted cops. Like maybe you should go rewatch the movie.
he went for everybody.
Yeah, no, true. Yeah.
You had depression, trap.
I was trying to look, what was the second trap? Oh, I thought the fingers. You know, I do have to say that, like, the way they constructed this film, I thought was kind of interesting, because usually with Saw, you know, you have the trap, they go through the trap, they either survive or they don't, and we move on. Then, the way they broke it up piecemeal was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it was really cool. Because like when it happened in the theaters, I was like, oh, they're going to show it, but now they're sort of using this detective trope where they're most likely going to find the dead body and then we're going to see it. And that's exactly what happened. And I thought it was a really cool sort of like police drama trope that they used that Saw has never done before.
Yeah, I like the, kind of piecemealing it. And then you sort of find out why, or, you know, there are like different reasons throughout, just to kind of make it, I think, a little more complex. Because again, overall, I do like this. I'm looking forward to it being on like HBO or whatever, so I can like rewatch it again. You know, just because you always want to watch a Saw film a few times because you miss things. Mm-hmm. I know there's got to be Easter eggs I miss. I know there's got to be callbacks to other things and conversations. But there were times where I was like, it kind of feels like Chris Rock was like, I'm a big fan of the Saw movies. I've got money and clout. You know, I've got an idea, and we can just like stick Jigsaw in. You know, because otherwise it was sort of very this. I mean, I think the comparisons to Seven, which is another film, Joe, you've not seen, right?
Yes.
Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Seven. Yeah. Have you seen Seven?
I've not seen Seven.
Sorry,
no.
You keep freezing for me. You gotta watch what's going on.
Sorry, it cut out right then and there, but we're good.
Just make it sure. So it reminded me a little bit of Seven, you know, I read one of the, I think it was Forbes review was like, rip off, don't remake. So Spiral is kind of coming from that, you know, vibe of like Seven. Obviously the twist is very different, but, you know, just kind of, there were just moments where I felt like, okay, what exactly is the function of Jigsaw here other than being like inspirational? Curious about your thoughts on that, David.
So basically he is just inspirational. He's obviously the killer is not. He was young when I'm guessing, because the timeline's all real weird at this point. I'm guessing he was probably young when the Jigsaw killings were actually happening. So like he wanted to do this since he was 12 years old, you know, and like I'm guessing Jigsaw was around at that point. And they had that Article 8 thing, which let everybody do whatever they wanted, which makes me think that some of the That's sort of a retcon for the earlier movies as to why some of the police are probably in traps. In the older ones. But yeah, he's just basically using, sort of using the MO, but also not, because his is not like, so Jigsaw just teaches lessons to the general population, right?
About valuing
right?
your life, about, you know, yeah.
Cherishing your life. And this one, this spiral killer is what I'm going to call him. He wants to punish police for doing bad things, and they can either live or die. Like, but if they do live, they will never be able to do what they did to other right. people again. Like with the finger trap, like he'll never be able to shoot somebody ever yeah. again. And the tongue guy, he won't be able to
lie
on the witness stand or whatever ever again to get people in jail. And so this, it's definitely a different MO, and it sort of uses some of the lesson, but also it's new and different. It's not Jigsaw. Like, Jigsaw's gone. That's done. But no one will ever be able to do what Jigsaw did again, because like they didn't go through what he did. So they have different view on life. And he specifically, Spiral Killer, dad got caught, killed point blank by a cop for doing nothing wrong. Right. And he wants to try to punish him.
Seek vengeance.
It's purely motivation. It's purely motivated by revenge. And right. I think what's interesting is that, like, when we get to the police chief, right, who gets killed in the cold storage, I thought it was going to be liquid nitrogen. But, like, because it looked...
I thought so, too.
Because it looked like they put something on her face so she could get waterboarded.
Oh, right. Mm. Yeah.
So I was like, ooh, they're going to like freeze her face off and then it's going to crack or something. But the thing about it is that like when she plays her tape, you know, she hears her indictment. It's like because she didn't she never stick her neck out for anybody, right? Like she just kind of was uh-huh. very passive. And so that's an interesting thing because it's like, okay, there are people who have actually done terrible things, but like her punishment with like hers is probably one of them. I mean, they're all really fucked up. Like no one's
getting, that one was rough.
That one was really rough. And it's also because it's like, you know, because she got where she did for as young as she did. And, the, you know, the Spiral Killer draws that comparison later in the movie where it's like, oh, you know, she didn't become 30, like police chief at 35 because of, you know, X, Y, and Z. Like no one gets to where they are as young as they are without dirtying their hands a bit. So she like didn't stop people, but like enabled a whole thing. Like uh-huh. And it's interesting because it's like, now you're talking about like the root cause of like systemic injustice, right? You're talking about the people who are not terrible. Like they're not the ones out there shooting witnesses and shooting unarmed people and shooting people doing their own brand of justice with impunity, but you are talking about like someone at the top who never exercised it and never exercised their actual power for good. So, for actual justice. And it's just so interesting to kind of see like if this movie had come out when it was the first time it was delayed last year, like I think they made a really good call. I mean, there's never going to be the sad thing is that like there really will never be a time when it's not going to feel, you know, it's not going to feel prescient. But like specifically in light of everything that happened after June 2020, like to see this come out is just like kind of bonkers. And then also, I mean, we have like, you know, a black man at the helm of it who has talked about like living in a, like, you know, living, growing up in an area where it was, you know, bullets flying and all that stuff. And so to kind of see them and Samuel L. Jackson as well. So it's just so, I think we're seeing this not on the same lines of like a Get Out where it's wanting to actually have a social commentary, but we are seeing it take place within like a within a very specific reality. And it's the reality that we're living in right now. I mean, it's so funny because like I was telling Joshua where the scene in the beginning when he just Zeke is talking to William and he's talking about like his wife, William's wife, and how they have problems and stuff. And Zeke starts to go over the like reasons why being a detective is terrible. And I'm like, well, there's a good case for like abolition right there. Like, like this is why would anyone want to work in an environment where they think that, you know, where the norm is what he's saying and then proving, trying to prove themselves to be the exception. So yeah, that's, it was really good. It was really thought provoking and just as a piece of horror, just as a, you know, a splatter gory piece of horror, I thought it was really great. I'm surprised that people are not liking it, but I shouldn't be.
It's very split. Like, it's either they loved it or they hated it. Like, it's very weird. I've been following it on Twitter and... Yep. And even, like, saw, like, super fans are, like, either loving or hating it. And it's just... Yeah. It's very weird. But I hope it gets a second one.
I think at this point we have to get... Because... We have to know, like, I want to know more about the killer. I want to know how he was able to design those things. Did he, like, you know, I want to see, like, you know, he's in college and it's like, oh, he has, like, a bachelor's in mechanical engineering and also criminal psychology and stuff like that. Like, I want to know that. It always just amazes me how much, like, he has access to, like, all the deepest personnel files. And I think, like, I think the main conversation that we're going to have from this, or at least like kind of like the, you know, the larger societal context we're going to have from this is like really has to deal with like that quote unquote brotherhood of being a police officer. And like, okay, because we constantly are told, right? The propaganda is constantly being told that there are good ones and it's only a few bad apples, but like, how is that truly the case? And then you see this and we just kind of also are conditioned to accept that, yes, it is a brotherhood. So one cop speaks out against another man, against another cop, but like now he's forever a rat. He is forever a person who, I think that's the conversation that I really want to have with people when they see this movie. It's like, well, he was obviously the person who everyone thought because he was the one that was the target, but he did everything right, quote unquote, everything right.
And like that happened, he even says it was like 12 years ago or something.
Nine or 12,
I forget. But it was a while. And like they're still putting dead rats on his desk even 9 years later. It's ridiculous. Like,
yeah, I think the film I think that's, again, if this would have come out last year, I think this would have even been more obvious that, again, the conversation it's having is a bad apples conversation rather than a systemic conversation about police brutality and white supremacy and oppression, all that. Cause I mean, again, the film totally avoids like really any conversation of that. I mean, you've got Chris Rock, Samuel L. Jackson, Marisol Nichols. I mean, you have a very like diverse, like people of color cast are in almost all the primary roles or many of the primary roles. And they completely avoid any conversation about racism in the workplace or racism in the police. I think, in my opinion, at least not as far as they could take it. So I felt like what I came away from it was they could have pushed that narrative a little bit more. You know, I mean, there could have been a little bit more of, you know, that sort of conversation. But what I actually really think it kind of was more of like a warning of like, of what this sort of, you know, instead of making people safer, it makes people hate the police more and makes the, it radicalizes. So this kid becomes radicalized by police violence and decides to, you know, have take out vigilante justice on the police. You know, that's kind of how, that's what I kind of took away from it at the end, is that it almost feels like a warning to the system of policing, that it's like, you're not, all yeah. you're doing is making people hate the police and to be violent against them. And so rather than having like this deep conversation about systemic policing issues, I'm not exactly sure what the, you know, what the goal was, you know, in that realm. But I just, that's kind of what I took away from it. Just my two cents. And I mean, and I am also very radically like oppose the police, defund the police, totally change that system. So that also might just be my politics and my perspective.
Yeah, it's, I think also like the final image, right, of someone pulling the strings, you know, of basically the chief of like former chief of police being like strung up like a puppet, because mm-hmm. again, oftentimes you see like Black police officers are used as such. Right. They are used as puppets and brought out they may not think that they are, but like, you know, they're often like, oh no, we have a Black police officer, he can't possibly be the bad one, quote unquote, because he's here with us. But then you see him, to also see him get gunned down in that way, because, you know, the thing comes out, the gun comes out, and then they make it, but they don't even know that he's like the former chief of police. I think like that whole, to end it on that too, like, and it just to have it be so like raw and horrific, and you know, exactly the like a very parallel to the way that the first one ended, was beautiful, but like it was like one of the more disturbing images, even more disturbing than like tongues getting ripped out and hot wax and severed spines,
and it happens so fast. Like, I figured out who the killer was pretty fast because I've seen these Saw movies. But that wasn't really the twist. It was that last room. And it was like, you either save your dad or you leave with me. And it's like, leave with him. Do it. I wanted him to so bad. And then he didn't. And it just happened so quick. I was like, what's going to happen when they get through that wire?
Yeah, that was tense.
I was and then it happened, and I love how the new puppet, whose name is Mr. Snuggles.
I want one of those so bad. Oh my gosh, it was adorable.
I do too. They're making it. There is a company making it. I will send you the link to it. And it should be out by Halloween.
Is it like Trick or Treat Studios or one of them? Okay.
Yes, yeah, it is.
They make good. Yes, they make cool stuff.
So they, and like earlier in the movie, one of the videos has Mr. Snuggles, and he literally shows what's going to happen to the chief of police. And I was just like, what?
True. There was a lot of like foreshadowing in that, you know. And again, I kind of felt the same way when I was sitting there, like, I think I have this figured out, but the question is still going to be why. You know, to some extent, is he connected into Jigsaw? Because, like, I got the...
That I was right, it was
more about, like,
too.
Okay, well, why? Like, where's that kind of reveal?
And who knows, maybe in the second movie or the third movie, we're going to get, like, it'll start with a flashback where he is, like, a college student and gets into a room, and please stop me if I'm like about to embarrass myself, gets into a room with John Kramer. Do you know what I mean? Like, is that something that could possibly happen? Like, is he imprisoned or in a hospital bed? Or
it all depends on like it all depends on the timeline. When does this take place? We don't know.
Because it could very well take place like shortly after or concurrently, right? It's
The original Saw films, the first one came out in what, 2004? Yeah, 2004. And then the final was 10, and then they did
Yeah. So the final was 2010, but the timeline is Saw 3 takes place
they're very
in
condensed.
2006. And then Saw 4, 5, 6, and 7 all take place within at least a month of the end of the end of 3. So, and then Jigsaw's 10 years later, which is like 2017 or so.
Yeah, that's when it was released. But yeah,
so it all depends.
The timeline, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little, you know, Saw is like... queen of the retcon. each one, and then you find out, which I always enjoyed, like, you know, how they tying it together, and you're like, what, you know, especially like at the end of like 4 or 5 when like burst in the room, it's like, oh, this whole thing has been happening at the same time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I am curious to see how they develop this. I mean, in the film, the detective, sorry, all their names, I just saw it, you know, Shank, William Shank is like, oh, wasn't that like 15 years ago? So again, yeah, it's like hard to know exactly the, you know, timeline of like 15 years ago of
the timeline.
Since when? Since the first Saw murders or no, or like, you know, so.
Yeah, from like the end of Saw 3, from the end of Saw 7, you know, don't exactly know that. And like, when was... he 12 years old, like, was that happening during that, or was it like before that? Because if it's before that, then the timeline's all weird, because like, he's obviously like in his 20s.
I'd would say late 20s, you know, pushing 30,
late 20s, late early 20s. 30s.
yeah
by that it'd be
and so like
that. Sorry, go ahead.
So that maybe, like, I don't think he'd be able to meet John, Jigsaw, but he might be, like, I really wanted them to go more into, like, the cultiness of, like, what Seven does, and maybe we'll get that in the next movie.
And again, I mean, we don't know, like, if, you know, in this world for years, there are others. You know, there are others who are inspired and they're out there.
Yeah.
There's a whole spiral cult, you know, we have no idea. But, you know, so this is just that first. And it's kind of just like the original. It starts with this tiny little idea and then you realize it's this huge web. You know, so we'll see. I mean, I think it's definitely worthy of a sequel. We'll see how it does at the box office. I never sweat reviews on horror because it's always going to be in the middle. I mean, especially with an intense franchise like this, it's just so hard to meet everybody's needs or wants or, you know.
And I think it is going to take the weekend box office of being the highest grossing.
Very cool.
This weekend. With 9 million, I think. Almost 10.
Which post-pandemic, you know, post-mask
pretty
mandate.
Damn good.
Yeah.
Like, that's very good. Also, like, I have loved watching Max Minghella since Social Network. So, like, I was very here, like, when I saw that he was in it, I'm like, okay, I'm very here for this. And I was just like, I just want more. And also, he's like a young guy, right? So like he could do this for a while. Like he will definitely be doing this for a while. It'll be interesting to see how the sequel plays out, especially given the like very real and deep conversations that we've been having about structural institutional white supremacy and how that affects the police and how like how far they're going to go, because like it could go the way of the first Purge, right?
Right.
Where we have something like that blatantly addresses it. And this is what we're doing. But like, we'll see. Also there were two noticeable, Pulp Fiction references that I thought were really cool. So the safe door on the cold storage is Vincent Jewell's.
That's where I was like, I've seen that safe company before.
Yeah. So Vincent Jewell's, which are Travolta and Samuel Jackson's characters in Pulp Fiction. And then also the fact that his name is Ezekiel, because that's the book that Samuel L. Jackson quotes his character of Jules quotes that book of the Bible. And it kind of fits his character a lot, you know, like the idea that he's going to strike back in furious anger, which like he definitely sees, like you definitely see him being furious and angry at the end. I thought those were really interesting things to put in there.
Well, and the whole way it opened, but yeah, too, like the conversation.
Oh yeah, the conversation between the two, and
yeah, how it opens just, when they're talking about the like the movie. It reminded me a lot of the Like a Virgin conversation in Reservoir Dogs, and then I saw there are big writings about that. Yeah, I think Chris Rock may have done an interview or something saying how he was inspired by.
Which makes sense because they're like doing a little heist, right? So
yeah,
it was good. I'm very pleased to hear, David, that you liked it as well. What's interesting is that like right before we recorded, I got a text from a friend who is also a horror friend, and he said, "How bad was it?" And I was like, "I didn't think it was bad at all." And he said, I will read it to you verbatim. And I don't know if he's ever going to hear this, but we'll see. He said, "How bad was Spiral?" And then I said that I liked it. And he said, "Really? I've heard people thought it was one of the worst movies made in a while." And I was like, that is very, very difficult to read because I thought it was pretty good. And I also thought that like, if this had come out when it was supposed to, like this was Chris Rock, like trying to pivot himself because he had just put it into context. He had just done Fargo where he played like a dramatic character, right? The most recent scene of Fargo, recent season of Fargo, like to see him do this, like it's very reminiscent of, Lakeview Terrace, I think, with Samuel L. Jackson, who plays this like corrupt police officer. So it's really fascinating that like there are people who don't like it, to me at least. But I mean, again, this is horror. We're dealing with people who have a lot of very strong opinions. It's a very beloved franchise.
Right.
So I shouldn't be surprised, but I kind of am because, and I don't know, maybe literally the movie magic of it all probably got me. Just like the big screen and the big sound and all of that and the IMAX of it all. But I don't know. Yeah. I just to see that there are people out there who are really coming for it. Just is kind of shocking.
There's also a lot of people who are horror fans, but they really don't like Saw. Like as a franchise, they don't like it. It apparently birthed the torture porn, genre, which I don't think it did. Hostel did. But
I would agree with you on
some
that.
People just don't really like it. And yeah, I loved it. It actually, like, I went in with high expectations because, you know, it did even better than I thought. It's in my top three.
I was wow, that's high praise because I was prepared to I was prepared to come in to this like recording this and have you be like it was awful or it was meh. Like I was not prepared to hear you give it such high praise.
I literally almost I walked out of the theater. I almost bought a ticket and went back in. But I was like, it's late. I should probably get home.
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the conversation, I think the Forbes review I read was sort of like, if you really like the first Saw film, you'll like this. Whereas like some people feel like the first Saw is not as exciting as the others, which is true. Like the first film is not this torture porn film. Like, so I agree. I don't think Saw like birthed that. I definitely think it was more extreme, you know, than some of the things we had been seeing at the time. But yeah, definitely Hostel was like torture porn. But Saw definitely, yeah. I think was right there kind of in that, you know, it gets a little, you know, muddy there of, you know, just like what's the first slasher film, you know? So I kind of agree with that assessment. I think if you think the first Saw film is boring, then maybe you won't be as excited by this. Or if you don't like Seven or films that are kind of a little bit more, you know, it's not like it's not just like 20, you know, traps with horrible things happening in it. It's, you know, it's trying to be something a little bit, you know, more than that. But I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot to like here. I did struggle at times with Chris Rock a little bit. Again, I you know, I only really know him from a comedic thing. And I had wondered at first when I heard about it, kind of the same way with Get Out, you know, when I heard Jordan Peele wanted to make a horror film. And then he was like, but he's not going to be in it. I thought, well, that might have been a good idea for Chris Rock to like produce it, write it, you know, but not actually be in it, like find, you know, a more serious actor. In the end, I think he did well. There were a few moments where I just felt like he was kind of going, I'm a serious police officer with a complicated relationship with my father. Let me squint a few more times. You know, there were just a few moments where I was like, I feel like that's showing a little bit. But overall, I think he did a good job, especially with the end. I really believed him at the end. I'm like, oh, there he is. Okay, yeah, he can do this. But there were just a few moments. Again, that might be my own prejudice against like comic, like, you know, just the comedic kind of thing, which also was well balanced in this. There were a few laugh out loud moments, but not, it wasn't a comedy. It's not a horror comedy. So, I mean, I think they did a good job again with that.
I was going to say the Forrest Gump thing is hilarious. and then the whole, there were a few parts where I was like, you're not that serious, but I think I know which parts you're talking about. It was in the past. It was the past parts where it was like, oh, I'm the beat cop and I had to turn him in right. for reasons. And honestly, all of those flashbacks, I was like, this is camp. Samuel L. Jackson with a mustache, Chris Rock with a goatee, and they're just like hamming it up. Yeah. I loved that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think there's something for, you know, everybody here to enjoy. Go and see it in the theater. I have a hard time saying it's bad. In general, I have a hard time calling, you know, saying anything is bad. Obviously, Fright School is about kind of pulling the social commentary out of horror, not necessarily whether or not it was good. But I thought this was super fun. I do think there's an interesting conversation happening. I'll say again, I'm not exactly sure it's a conversation they are trying to have, but we'll see as time wears on how it evolves and changes and as we get more reflective about it. But yeah, I thought overall it was super fun. I didn't leave it going, ugh. Well, that was a waste, which was a win for me. My expectations were not high. I just wanted to have fun and enjoy it. And I did. So, and I thought about stuff. So I like that.
I have one final question for David. How did you feel about when Zeke picks up the saw and then sees the bobby pin?
Oh my God. It was one of the best moments. I was like, are they really going to do this again? And then he sees the bobby pin. And I almost cheered in the theater, but I think I would have pissed some people off. I was like, yes, I really liked the homage to the original. And then they were like, that was good.
I was like, oh my God, this is why cause I only saw the teaser trailer. Like, or, you know, the first trailer that was released and then nothing ever again. And didn't, you know, kind of once I realized that like it was coming up, I just made it a point to not seek out any advanced stuff or interviews. And then like it, you can tell that it was very much like, we're going to do this little Saw thing for the trailer. And then people will be like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And then, you know, make it so that way he just escapes with a bobby pin. And you know, and that's the other thing, the last thing I'll probably say just in general is my friend, I told him, I said, I wanted more traps. Like, you know, that's why people go to Saw, they go for the traps. I think this was trying very hard to have things outside of that. Yeah. But like when they did have the traps, like the traps were unforgettable. So, go see it. Hopefully you have already seen it if you're listening to this. But go see it and, you know, feel free to disagree with us.
Yeah, by all means.
Yeah. So you just brought up another thing that I really loved about it is every other Saw movie has barely any outside shots. Nothing happens outside. It's all very contained. And this one went everywhere. I loved it.
Yeah, it felt more expansive in that way, like going around a city again. And yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, overall, super fun. So yeah, I hope that you enjoyed it if you went and saw it. If you listened to this to get the spoilers, I hope you'll still go see it. Yeah. Yay! Oh my gosh, so exciting. We're on a new...
Yay.
A new Saw journey, we hope. I was reading that they want to do a sequel. They're going to see how this goes. There's also a thought that they want to still follow up Saw with a sequel. Maybe, you know, Tobin Bell really wants to explore the early history of Jigsaw and Billy the Puppet and other things. So there's still territory to mine in Saw. Go ahead, David.
They're also thinking of doing
yes.
A TV
yeah, yeah. That was
show.
The other thing I was going to say is that, yes, thank you. The TV, they're also thinking of that.
So pre-production apparently has already started on a 10th. So I don't know if it'll be a Spiral 2 or like a Jigsaw 2 or who knows. But they are apparently starting work
yeah,
on
I read that
one.
Darren Lynn Bousman had said, which was so great to see him return to the franchise again.
Loved it.
But yeah, he said that Spiral should not be considered a Saw Part 9. It's its own thing. So if they're going to do another Saw film, that's totally separate from the world that they're building with Spiral. So I'm excited. Do it. You know, we've had a Nightmare on Elm Street yeah. TV series. We've had Friday the 13th. We've had, you know, we're going to get Chucky. Why not Saw? Do it all. Have it all.
We've got Scream. Yeah.
Scream.
I mean, this will be,
right,
they
yeah.
can have a
TV is the place to be with horror.
Like a crossover. there'll be a crossover. It'll be called Spiral Saw. And
oh my gosh.
And I mean, like, they're trying basically to set up this like Saw cinematic universe.
Right.
which is really wild. Like, can you just imagine, like, take all of, like, David, when you're, you know, when put this in your, like, Saw spank bank for later, pick all your favorite people that have ever been in the series, and then they do, like, a Avengers Endgame style, like, into one big warehouse.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah, I always think about Shawnee Smith, like, gosh, why did she allow herself to get killed off? I just wonder if she either was tired of it, or... That was just what they wanted to do, because, man, I would love to see her return in some form.
I think that's just what they wanted to do, because they wanted to, like, end it with a trilogy. It was going to be the trilogy, and then it did so well that they were like, okay, green light the fourth one.
Well, we'll see what the future brings, but this is a promising start. Again, you know, I think, you know, it was – plenty of fun. There's something here if you love Saw, or if you just want to go see a horror film and go in the theater and, you know, hold your loved one's hand in the dark. So with that, thank you so much, David, for joining us. We miss seeing you in person. Hopefully we'll be able to do that again very soon, now that things seem to be, we'll see. As we've all know, we've all seen that movie before, so we'll see where it goes. But...
Thank you for having me.
We couldn't have done this film without consulting you. So,
oh, absolutely not.
Like, you were the only one we thought of. So,
no, absolutely. Yay. So, thank you again, Joe. As always, I adore you. Thank you for sitting through that, and I hope that your dreams are not too bad tonight.
I'll let you know next week.
All right, well, and to you, dear listeners, always thank you for listening, and we will see you next time. Good night.
Fright School is produced by Joshua Napier and Joe Farron.
Our intro was edited by Davy Boy Productions.
Our logo was designed by Jamie Channel Guzman.
Episodes are edited and engineered by Joe Farron.
Fright School is produced in terrifyingly beautiful San Diego, California.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.